The greatest trick the devil ever pulled was convincing the world he didn't exist.
I saw a pale horse,
the beast.
We're told in the Book of Revelation.
This is not a human child.
Isn't an angel?
Satan. Armageddon is almost upon us.
Order the use of nuclear weapons.
The world is a fine place and worth fighting for.
From one end of the world to the other, I will oppose you.
Welcome to the end of the world.
Wrestling not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities. This is PID Radio.
From the Discernment Research Laboratory in the Bunker Mezzanine Annex, overlooking beautiful, historic Shelbyville. Greetings from the heartland of America. I'm Derek Gilbert.
I'm Sharon Gilbert. Do we get lab coats?
We should.
We're not going to get labs, though. Sam says no.
No.
No labs.
Yeah. He saw one outside earlier, a black one.
And, he did.
Yeah. Barked at it, and the neighborhood is once again safe. Well, greetings.
He's putting on his Halloween face. He's getting ready.
That's right. Yeah. Sam's game face. You don't want to see Sam's game face. It's the last
really
thing
don't.
A badger ever sees.
You really don't. Well, yes. So much going on. We've got company here in the bunker, and they are upstairs watching a movie. So we're going to do this show and pray that they're fine up there and that there aren't any major interruptions.
Yes, as you might guess, they're young folk, but we enjoy having them here. So
we really do.
Yeah. Today, Friday, October 8th, 2010, and lots of stuff happening. Of course, the kind of things that happen on a Friday when politicians wanted to sweep stuff under the rug while we're distracted with weekend plans. We got the college football lineup tomorrow and NFL on set, and baseball is in playoffs. And oh, by the way, Bank of America has declared it's not going to foreclose on any properties now in all 50 states. It's at least temporarily stopped foreclosure proceedings in all 50 states. Do you know
why? They announced
why?
That on the what was the reason?
Well, the reason is that they want to review documents for potential flaws, which sounds so much nicer than cover up massive fraud. They don't own the houses they're trying to foreclose on. At least that is
they
the
never
gist.
Got out of the cock-a-doodle car.
That's right. There are four major banks now that have said, oh, wait, we need to check for potential flaws. PNC.
Flies.
PNC. Chase. JP Morgan Chase. And let's see, who else? Trying to get caught up here because we had a busy, busy day today, and Sam took a nice long walk in the wonderful evening fall weather here.
Boy, it's nice outside.
It truly is. But the bottom line is that these potential flaws that and this has kind of been a growing meme, or at least information has been leaking out as potentially millions of Americans are in homes that are worth less than we owe on them. Banks have been foreclosing and trying to figure out how to do it without destroying their balance sheets, first of all. But secondly, doing so on properties that they cannot prove to a court of law that they actually own the title to.
Okay, let's just back up for a few minutes and remember a story that came out about last week, I think, that I talked about it. The put options that expire in October.
Yeah.
October is a busy month.
There are
a lot of things. It's traditionally the month that we do have a big fall in the stock market.
Mm-hmm.
We've had a lot. In fact, the biggest one on record that we all talk about, the
Black
Great
Friday,
Depression.
The Great Depression, right?
Yeah, exactly. It started, well, according to the historians, it started on that date. Started before that, of course, and continued long after they declared it over, as we're seeing now. I think it's curious to see what sectors maybe are affected in those put options, and perhaps the banks are just playing for time.
That might be the case. I'll see if I can do some research before tonight's live view from the bunker show and maybe try to bring some more information to the table.
I think that's a really good idea. In the meantime.
We'll wait and see what happens next week with these, topic. I mean, this is huge because, you know, this literally hits us where we live.
And today also happened to be the day that Barack Obama did not sign the legislation for interstate
documentation.
Documentation,
that we talked about yesterday.
Yes, that had been signed by a notary. Nope. But don't like that. going to veto it.
Well, I'm glad that he did.
So am I, and I think that that was an electoral. You know, he's taking a look at the election in just about a month and thinking, if I sign this, it's going to be brought up in every TV ad. Even though the Republicans put it forth, I signed it.
Exactly. It was, boy, this is a trend that is potentially huge. And Obama, at least by vetoing this bill, proves that he's not completely insane. He still has some political instincts because, frankly, if he had signed this bill and made it easier for banks to foreclose on properties that they could not document ownership of, or you know, to which they could not hold prove title. I mean, title insurance companies who are left holding the bag if there is a problem with a title. Someone else comes in with another claim or can show an easement, and you know, they have to make good to the owner of the home.
Mm-hmm.
There are title insurance companies that are refusing to insure homes being sold at foreclosure by Bank of America, J.P. Morgan Chase, and other major lenders, because they just said, look, they can't prove that they actually hold clear title to these homes. There's just no way.
You know, the paperwork.
These loans have been sliced and diced and sold off to so many. There's no way they can document ownership of these houses anymore.
You know, the documentation that takes place in banks just amazes me. Anyway, you and I took out loans on our two cars.
Yeah.
And they never put liens against the titles. In fact, we got to keep our titles.
Which was astounding.
And we brought them over here to Indiana from Missouri. And they just said, no problem, no liens.
And let's be perfectly honest, at the time we took out those loans, we weren't exactly the greatest credit risk in the world either. So
We took out the loans because we were broke.
Yeah, we were swimming. We were basically trying to avoid.
We had cars that were paid off, so we thought, okay, what can we do? What can we do?
Yeah.
Talk to a lawyer. He said, go get loans on your
cars. Mm-hmm. And we did, and that bought us a little time, but it didn't eventually stave off the, you know, we had to exercise the nuclear option, but...
But it amazed me when I found out that there were no liens against those.
Astonishing.
Which, actually, those loans will now be paid off in the next few months.
Mm-hmm.
Yay!
Yeah, praise God for that.
Amen to that.
Well, you know, this is really interesting because as we look at a chart of this story kind of ties in with a chart that I'm looking at from Vox Day, who is a columnist for WorldNet Daily.
He's really been following this.
He has, and he's an Austrian economist, so he...
If you're not familiar with that, it doesn't mean he's from Austria.
No, no. There's a school of economics that is called Austrian, but they essentially are the only professional economists.
It's a very conservative outlook.
And they look at what's the word I'm looking for? Paper money, money without any real backing.
Fiat?
Fiat currency. Thank you. As a bad idea, a really bad idea. And
it's a great car.
Yeah. Maybe. And they
didn't they go bankrupt this year?
Fiat, trying to buy Chrysler or something
right.
like
so
that.
So fiat anyway, currency.
Fiat currency is a bad idea. And they also they account for debt in their economic theory, which the Keynesian economists don't. I mean, to them, debt doesn't matter, which is why during the Reagan years we had that boom, which was essentially financed with debt. The Clinton boom was financed with debt. And we've basically hit the bottom of the well. We cannot borrow anymore.
Well, all that matters now is what's on your books. You don't have to back up anything with paperwork now.
Well, apparently so, and that's where the banks are finding themselves in trouble. They're trying to figure out ways. They're trying to figure out a new way to get out of the situation they're in. If they foreclose on all the homes, basically they've got two problems. Number one, and maybe this is why they're trying to foreclose on properties they don't actually own. If they can, you know, it's like Monopoly. If you can buy up all the houses and you know whatever.
Mm-hmm.
They can at least have some assets that they can try to sell off at some point.
Theoretically.
To pay off the real debts that they hold. But the problem is if they foreclose on the properties on their books, they show that the assets that they're claiming on their balance sheets are worth a lot less than what
they
claim.
So they need to wait until the market jumps back up.
Yes.
So anyway, now's a bad time for those guys.
Yeah. Total loans and leases of commercial banks right now are been dropping like a stone since June of 2009. But there's a very interesting spike in the chart, and I'll have to post this in the show notes at PIDradio.com because it looks like phony accounting, fuzzy math. There appears to have been a 1 week orgy of commercial credit at the beginning of 2010.
I don't want to think about that picture.
In which the total loans and leases of commercial banks jumped from about $6.5 trillion to about $7 trillion. But now the Fed has come out and they've adjusted the numbers, and actually the amount has dropped to below $6.3 trillion. In other words, $1 trillion worth of credit that was supposedly in the economy has just vanished overnight. That's about 13.5% of all commercial bank credit in the country, washed away in one, you know, in one accounting adjustment. And according to Vox Day, the most that the total outstanding commercial bank credit had ever previously declined in a 2-year period total was less than 0.8%. So here in one accounting maneuver, they said, oh, yeah, we misfigured this.
So 13%.
So anyway, the economy, not looking good at the moment. And again, it happens on a Friday, so that we'll forget about it by Monday after we, you know, see how the Bears do on the weekend. So anyway.
Well, this will make you happy.
Well, good.
That headshot that you've got.
The headshot.
Yeah, you know, your promotional headshot that you always send into
headshot.
The radio stations.
For a second there, I was thinking.
The old headshot thing when you were back in the day?
I was thinking, you know, through a telephoto lens with crosshairs on it. You made me nervous.
You know, the very first picture I ever saw of you was your headshot from the radio days. We'll have to post that.
Oh, the black and white one with the mustache?
I'm sure it's around here somewhere. Ooh, I got to tell you. I was sitting there in Bloomington, Indiana, looking at that picture and thinking, he's pretty nice.
Oh.
And he's got a brain. I love brains.
So, anyway, the headshot.
But anyway, back to the boom chink. The headshot, not the rim shot, the headshot, if you've got it handy, you can send it in to MTV because they're having a casting call for President Obama's appearance on MTV at the town hall meeting.
No, wait a minute. Isn't a town hall supposed to be sort of a gathering of people from a community getting together to discuss?
You'd think so, wouldn't you? No, it's a casting call. They're going to flood it with actors and actresses. And they're even asking not just for the headshot, not just for the photo. They also want to know what your politics are.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
So this is a town hall.
This is a diverse group of people who love Obama and look really good.
A diverse group of young, pretty models, actors,
Obama
lovers.
Girls and guys.
Yeah, that's diverse. Oh, bro. You know, this just says it. Isn't this just typical of this presidency? This is the empty suit presidency. Really? I mean, let's just stand up the empty suit in front of the teleprompter and let it talk.
Here's something funny, speaking of empty suits. It doesn't matter who's in there, because there was a poll at CNN, of all places, that George Bush and Obama are neck and neck.
If George Bush were to run again?
Well, you know, let me find that and just see exactly how that was put. Let's see.
Debbie
just came in the side
door. Yeah, Debbie's here for dinner.
CNN poll. Americans are divided over whether President Barack Obama or his predecessor has performed better in the White House.
That's really interesting.
A national poll conducted by CNN Opinion Research Corporation.
Well.
How's about that?
Well, you know, it's because the people at CNN are a bunch of bigots and rednecks who love their Bibles and guns.
Clearly,
that's the issue. CNN
and their Krispy Kremes.
Yeah, clearly. They've been overrun by, us folks from out here in small town middle America.
This is a total, and it's not on, it's, you know, when we do these shows, we have notes. We have the PID news site that we take a look at. And in fact, I have two open windows, and I have that on the left and on the right. We have our instapaper.com. I don't know if you're familiar with that site, but it's a wonderful service. I use it all the time. And there's just a little applet that you put on your bookmarks bar that says read later. And any site you're on, you can just click read later, and it puts it to your instapaper.com account, and you can go back there and look at it. And that's what I look at. I look at PID News and then Instapaper. So it's not on either one of these. Actually, maybe on
Instagram. So we're winging
Instagram.
It here, huh?
We're winging it.
Okay.
I watched a video with Glenn Beck today.
Yeah.
And he was going on and on about his health.
Yeah.
And how he's going to be taking off a few days next week because he has to go out west. That's all he said, out west,
mm-hmm.
to discuss these strange neurological symptoms and the fibers that may be affected.
You know,
it is the weirdest video. And at the end, he says that he wants everybody to just, you know, pray for him and pray for each other and just be bearers of light. Bearers of light.
Well, you know,
light bearer. I've read that before.
Mm-hmm.
Why, that's the translation of the name Lucifer.
Yeah, Halel ben Shakar, you know, light bringer, son of the morning. That is interesting. And you know, I wish I'd had time to cue this up because we could have played the audio clip. In fact, we could play it now if you want to stream the clip. I think I've got it right here. Is it Glenn?
Well, if you want to find it, but it's toward the very end of the second video. Mm-hmm. I think I linked to that blog, but if you can find it, fine.
I've got it right here.
You do. Well, you want to go ahead and
it's Glenn Beck from his radio show this morning.
It's at the very, very end of the second video.
So it's about a 1 minute clip we're looking at here.
Oh, I don't know. I looked at two 3 minute clips.
Okay. Well,
earlier. So I don't know.
Well, rather than take a chance of putting something in here that's not really going to be relevant, we'll just we'll point you
in
the show notes.
We'll just make it up. And this is.
No, we'll point you in the show notes.
He had wild rabbit eyes, and I'll just describe it to you.
But the thing that that struck me when I saw the headlines earlier that fibers was Morgellons disease.
Well, I know that, but there's also a neurological fiber disease that may actually be the name of it. It's an autoimmune disease that autoimmune. That I think affects the autonomic system. It can actually affect your heart rate and some other things. And so if that's what's going on, then, and I'm not really sure, you know, how that's going to affect his ability to continue. But he was saying that it's affecting his voice. And what was odd is that I looked at the sites for that, if that's what he's talking about. And it didn't mention it affecting the voice at all. It affects your balance. You often have orthostatic hypotension. So when you stand up, you get really, really dizzy and fall down.
Hmm.
But I don't know.
Well, we'll keep Glenn Beck in our prayers. I mean, we've talked about him a lot.
And it's not just, you know, for this health issue. I think we need to really pray for him because, you know, I think he really – I get the sense that he really does want to find the truth.
He has brought a lot of Christian pastors onto his program over the last couple of years and has asked a lot of intelligent questions.
Mm-hmm.
I think that his – and his call to revival – on the Lincoln Memorial, I only wish that it had been from a biblically sound Christian pastor. But of course, you know that if a biblically sound Christian pastor had issued such a call to draw people together, he would not have attracted however many, you know, hundreds, thousands. How many people were there? Anywhere from 80,000 to 500,000 when he had his rally on 8/28.
I heard close to a million.
So, You know for a fact that if, for example, our pastor had tried to do something like that in a biblically sound call to revival, or any of the – there are tens of thousands, perhaps hundreds of thousands of biblically sound, Christ-loving and honoring pastors around the world, not just in the United States. And none of them would have drawn the crowd that Glenn Beck did.
He has a huge pulpit.
He does.
And
he
what
does.
He's preaching isn't quite right.
And that's why he's got that pulpit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I know.
Yeah.
And I just pray for him. I mean,
amen.
And,
right.
And his followers. So there you go. Yeah. So sorry, totally left turned.
No. That's an important news. Because Beck has, I think he surprised a lot of people with the impact that he had on August 28th. And it remains to be seen what will happen with that movement as evangelicals like Dr. Jim Garlow try to pick up that ball, and Lou Engle try to pick up that ball and run with it now.
Mm-hmm.
So, what else is going on? Well, let's see. We've got the phony baloney town hall coming up. We've got the phony baloney vaccines we talked about yesterday.
Well,
the phony baloney DNA.
And there's the top headline at PID News right now, and that is the Vatican Special Middle East Assembly is set to begin.
A special assembly in the? Are they going to watch a film strip? I mean, that's what we usually did at special assemblies when I was in school.
They're addressing the fact that Christians are leaving the Holy Land. Now, from what the actual Israeli ambassador to the Vatican, according to his opinion, that's not true. He says the Holy Land encompasses Egypt, Israel, Turkey, Syria, Lebanon, Iraq,
In other words, everything that was promised to Abraham, all the way to the Euphrates.
Absolutely. And he said, that's not what's happening. So if that's his opinion, it's going to be an interesting meeting there in Jerusalem when they all get together. But the reason I bring this up is not just because it's the Vatican going there to see what's going on, and they will make some decisions. You better believe it.
Uh-huh.
But also because while they're there, Ahmadinejad, that guy
he's getting
from
ready
Iran
to head to Syria, right.
is going to be in Lebanon.
Yeah. Headed to Lebanon. Where
same thing.
As Syria. It effectively is, essentially. Syria and Lebanon, according to Debka file, have decided to basically take over as soon as Ahmadinejad leaves
and
next
Iran
week.
And Iran wants to pretty much take over them.
Mm-hmm. So we will see. Next week could be a very interesting week.
I'm not sure Iran is in charge. I think it's Syria.
Really?
Yeah, I do.
Well, why is that?
Well, the reason I say that is because, is it Assad?
Mm-hmm.
Is he prince or king?
No, he's president.
That's right.
Syria is a secular state.
Well, that's true. But don't his roots go back very, very long as far as familial ties, whereas Ahmadinejad is elected.
Uh-huh.
He doesn't have nearly the amount of power he pretends to have.
Well, Assad.
But he does, right now, have the approval of the mullahs.
Yeah. Assad, I think, now I'm going to have to do some reading on the history of Syria, but I believe Assad is just the president because his father led a coup. I don't think they've got any longstanding.
Okay, then I'm
family
wrong.
Ties, not like
no, I'll come in again.
like King Abdullah of Jordan, and you know King Hussein of the Hashemite dynasty.
That is very true. And I guess you know we talked earlier about the Prince of Persia. Mm-hmm. So what's the entity, the deity, in charge of Syria and Lebanon? Because that's the area with Mount Hermon.
That's very true. You'd think that. As we try to discern what's going on in the unseen world, looking through that mirror
into that darkness.
Yeah, mirror into the darkened room. You'd think that would be an area that would be jealously coveted by any one of the fallen watchers.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
and that's another reason that I really pay attention to what goes on in Syria and
Lebanon. Yeah, because that's where Mount Hermon is. Well, mm-hmm. That's a really good question. I never really thought about that. The politics of the supernatural realm, the politics of the powers and principalities.
Ooh, there's a book. There's a book for you.
Yeah. That is, you could really get into a lot of speculation. And of course it would be speculation because we're just trying to see into that realm and discern from the clues. We're trying to read the shadows on the wall, which is all we can see with our mortal eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting though. And I'll bet, we could have an interesting roundtable on that with some of the folks that we know. So,
I have a question for you.
Okay.
When you look at a spiral, do you sweat?
Not as far as I remember. Now, no.
I talked to you about this earlier.
Because we talked about this.
Robert Lomas, who has wrote The Hierarchy, has a theory in one of his – I linked to the page. He has a theory that you see a lot of spirals because they're fertility symbols and that men – he claims almost always have galvanic skin responses. They sweat.
When we see a spiral.
When you see a spiral.
Huh. And
I've never noticed it.
Well, I can't say I've ever paid attention to spirals particularly.
But the reason
we talk about this
is the spiral thing in the Aryan ruins that mm-hmm. were just recently uncovered there in Russia.
Yeah.
Near where? Kurdistan?
Kazakhstan. Yeah, it's a rather long area, too, about a 400-mile stretch on the border between Russia and Kazakhstan.
And the settlement's in a spiral.
The settlements are shaped in a spiral shape, yeah. Now, back in the old days, you had to do certain things to try to protect your settlement from marauding, other civilizations that wanted to take your stuff, which is why the Celts in Britain and mm-hmm. ancient Europe used to build on top of hills and build a stockade,
mm-hmm.
which essentially that technology lasted for a couple thousand years because our ancestors here in the colonies were still building stockades to protect themselves as late as the 19th century. But if it works, whatever. So I don't know. I wondered, is it a defensive
It could be.
You know, is there some kind of defensive thing?
Guys that tried to attack, they saw it and they all started sweating.
Apparently, yeah. They got all distracted. I'm not sure.
It's Friday. It's Friday.
Yeah, people. Yeah. As we're looking down the barrel of the weekend here, but it's an interesting concept. You know, why were the Aryan civilizations laid out in the form of a spiral?
I don't know. Yeah. I think it's a it's
and why
a
did they
really
invent
good question.
The swastika and put it all over everything? Mm-hmm.
So. Well, one of our listeners sent me a link to a book that's actually by Robert Lomas, and it's called Uriel's Machine. And I really want to take a look at this. I've got that link on the Instapaper site. By the way, if you join Instapaper, you can access our starred folder. Anything that we think is really important, and we star it, and we put it in our starred folder. It's PID Radio is the name of our account, and you can get in there and see what we're looking at.
Yeah, and we're just basically
rifle through our folder,
saving stuff to the web that we think is interesting and worth reading and reviewing in more depth later on.
Yeah.
And it's also a way to share that information without posting it in full to PID News, which is a probable violation of copyright.
I don't know. We'll.
But it's one way to avoid the potential lawsuit for copyright infringement. Now that Rupert Murdoch and other content providers on the web have decided they've got to charge for everything, which isn't going very well for them.
I'll tell you what I've noticed is that there are some sites out there that you can't cut and paste.
Yeah.
Copy and paste. You can't. It won't allow you to do it. So I think that that's what they're going to do. They're going to put code into it so that you can't do it.
Yeah.
And it's fine with me. If they get to that point, then you and I'll just we'll write articles on here and we'll just refer to the article. You can go to this site and read it, and here's what we think of it.
Right. And the point is that we're not using PID News or PID Radio to try to sell the content as our own. It's just stuff that we think is important to know, stuff that may not be as widely reported as it ought to be, and we just want to call it to your attention. So
that is absolutely
Instapaper.com,
so
and then look for the folder, the starred folder from PID Radio. A couple of other quick notes. National Security Advisor General James Jones has quit his post, and
boy, they're just quitting left and right over there.
They're shuffling a lot of folks in and out. Yeah, it was just days ago that Rahm Emanuel was stepped down so he could run for mayor of Chicago, and Donilon, and first name is escaping me, but Donilon has replaced James Jones as National Security Advisor. So since we know they listen to the streams here on a regular basis, in fact, they're probably listening to it just as we record it.
I think
so
they probably have it on their iTunes subscription. I think PID Radio. That's where I always go for my information.
Tom Donilon, former Democratic political operative, the new National Security Advisor.
You better get his name right if he was going to listen.
Well, exactly. That's why I was kind of looking this up while we were talking here. So we got that, and well, as we wind down, these 30 minutes go by very, very quickly, don't they?
They really do. Yeah. They really do. We're having a ball doing this every day, and Monday through Friday. And, of course, tonight you're going to be talking to our favorite guy.
Yes, our number one guy, Guy Malone. He and his wife, Nicole, have successfully relocated. It took some effort, but they moved from Roswell to Florida. We'll talk about why tonight at View from the Bunker Live. That's 10 p.m. Eastern Time, blogtalkradio.com/PID radio, blogtalkradio.com/PID radio.
Yes, I know. We're not doing PID radio over there anymore. It's confusing. We'll probably fix that. But for now, it's at /PID radio.
Well,
we'll have the link on the in our show notes.
Yes, and Bob and Amy Lander, pastor and his wife, they'll be the podcast version of View from the Bunker. That'll be uploaded on Sunday. Next Friday night on View from the Bunker Live, talk to an interesting fellow we met in Canton, Ohio, Rob. Rob, I'm going to pronounce your name wrong. I know it. Skiba, I believe.
I think it's Skiba.
Skiba. Mm-hmm. He's an actor, a writer, producer, director, and he's proposed he's working on a forthcoming TV series called...
He's a former missionary. He's a great...
Yes.
I mean, he's a true believer.
And he gets it. And his forthcoming TV series is called Seed, which is based on all the stuff we talk about right here. So that's next Friday night, View from the Bunker Live. So until Monday, I'm Derek Gilbert.
I'm Sharon Gilbert. Bye-bye, everybody.
Oh, let's hit the closing.
Oh, no, you hit the wrong one. I'll say it again. Bye.
Bye, everybody. Thanks for listening. PID Radio is a production of the PID Radio Network, a division of Gilbert House. Please visit our website at PIDradio.com, where you'll find show notes and links to connect with us on Twitter and Facebook. We wish to thank all those who help undergird and underwrite our ministry through prayers, feedback, and donations. To contact us directly, email us at radio@peeringintodarkness.com. opening music adapted from The Alchemist's Tower by Kevin MacLeod, www.incompetech.com. Closing music, New Day Coming by Steve Grace, stevegrace.com. Content, copyright Gilbert House, and is licensed under Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derives 3.0 Unported License. For more information, see creativecommons.org.
Gonna step up to the microphone, say it loud.